Talking round ball on today's High School Playbook from Rock 93.7, getting you ready for what we can expect this season from the Upperman girls, from the Monterey boys, the Jackson County boys, and plenty of other stops in between. But we get started on the Cookeville High School campus. A Lady Cavs team that won 19 games last year. They graduated just three seniors. Plenty of reason for head coach Jamie Gillis to be excited about the upcoming season.
Oh, we're so excited to be back in the gym. We were able to, you know, get in the weight room and have some open gyms, but it's been so great to get in and go through some drills and really see the team all out there together and being able to work together to get better.
What's the energy been like in practices? I know some teams have maybe been a little bit slower out of the gate just because of how everything's been restricted leading up to now, but how are your girls looking?
Oh, our energy has been really great. You know, they, like I said, we had been conditioning and lifting, and I think they were ready to put a ball in their hands and just get after it. And I have 20 with my JV right now, and so it's a big group, but, you know, they've come out, and my upperclassmen have really – helped lead my freshmen, you know, in the drills and things like that. So it's energy's been really high, and we're excited to be back in the gym and being able to start our season.
Has it, you mentioned it just then, you know, being in the weight room and doing conditioning, has it been nice to get back to actually working on offensive sets, defensive schemes, compared to just typical conditioning? Because I think that sometimes, you know, casual observers look at it as, oh, well, running helps just as much as anything else.
Oh, for sure. It helps, you know, and We weren't able to play this summer, and we weren't able to, you know, have any of the scrimmages and the play days like we have in the past. And so being able to get out there and, you know, just work on our offenses and our defenses and things like that has been great. It stinks that we haven't been able to play, you know, try them out against anybody before that first game gets here. But, you know, we're all in the same boat as far as that goes. So it's been, like I said, it's been great. And like the kids have been excited to be out there.
I have to ask, just because I've asked just about every coach this, but I'm curious your answer. Back when everything was locked down, did you ever think we'd get to this point?
Oh, I wasn't sure. We hoped, and I think a lot of people were probably like my family. You know, we enjoyed our time together. We got to know each other a little bit better than I think, you know, what we had in the past, and it was nice to slow down. But yeah, we always kind of had that, you know, that question in the back of our mind: Are we going to be able to go back? Are we going to be able to have our season? Especially when they canceled the state tournament and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And so we were always hopeful. And you know, the good thing is everybody was rested up, and you know, any lingering injuries and things like that had time to heal. So I think it was a good break, you know, for all involved. But we're so excited to be back.
And I'm sure it teaches a lot about appreciation, just because, you know, sometimes maybe teenagers don't know how to appreciate even practices, because nobody loves going to practice. But I'm sure it teaches a lot about appreciation and never taking a day for granted, too.
Right. And I've, you know, my core group of seniors, I have four seniors this year, and they've really spoken out to our underclassmen and saying, no, this may be it for us, and we never know, you know, if this could be our last practice, if this could be our last game. And so they have really came out with, you know, with some good intensity as far as, you know, we're going to give it all we got because this may be it for us. And I think they've really put it into perspective for our whole team.
Looking back at last year, this team had a really, really solid year, at least in my opinion, with a 19-11 record. But if you could have improved one thing about last year's team, what would it have been?
To finish the end better. we struggled in the district tournament and in the region, and just struggled late, and so you know, we want to end better. You know, we started out really good last year and had, you know, good wins in the district in the regular season, and then we got to the district tournament and we just couldn't pull one out. And so, you know, moving forward, we want to finish strong.
You, just like a lot of, just about every other team, you've lost a couple seniors looking this year, but you by and large bring back the main nucleus of your core. And that's got to be important for continuity and growth within your system, right?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I bring back four seniors, five juniors, and four sophomores. And a lot of those kids got to play last year. And so, they're a good group, and I'm deep this year just like I was last year. But everybody, you know, a lot of these kids got to play last year, so we'll miss the Dunaways and Cassie Shope, who we lost. But I think these seniors and juniors and even, you know, these sophomores are really stepping up.
I think at the 3A level, almost more than any other level, I feel like depth along with health are some of the biggest keys to success. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've got different tools that I can use in our toolbox. You know, I've got, you know, Bailey Gillis who can come in and knock down the three. I've got Shaylin Cunningham who can come in and just give us some, you know, absolute grit and toughness. And then, you know, I've got Emma Webb who comes in off the bench and can really get to the rim. And so any given night it could be, you know, somebody different who steps up in a role that we need, and that's big for us.
Looking at some of your players individually now, one that I feel doesn't get enough credit, at least from what my perspective, is Liv Shipman, because it feels like even if the stats in the scorebook aren't eye-popping, positive things are always happening when she's on the floor.
Yeah, we've said this since Liv was a freshman. Liv is an absolute gamer. She comes out and she, like you said, she'll be silent. You know, her stat line, she may not be, you know, the leading scorer, but she's leading our team. She's you know, she handles pressure well. She's just all around a great player, a great athlete, and absolutely a great kid. And she's been solid for me, you know, since I've been to Cookeville. And I think she started since she's a freshman. And I'll be real sad at the end of this year when we don't have Liv anymore.
Is she the kind of player that every program could benefit having? Because I feel like a lot of programs look at it as we'd all love to have five-star recruits. But those players that are those glue players that, you know, move the ball well on offense, that know their assignment and can handle themselves at the defensive end, they're just as important.
Oh, absolutely. And Liv is – people don't realize she's such a great passer. She sees the floor so well, and we love her running our break because she sees it and she can just sling it down the court and – and she can knock down the three. You know, she broke the 3-point record for Cookeville High School last year. So she does it all, and it's just, and she does it quietly. You know, she doesn't want any, you know, she don't want the spotlight, but she's a great player.
Cookeville head coach Jamie Gillis. Upperman Lady Bees off to a strong start once again this year as the high school playbook rolls your way on a Saturday morning from Rock 93.7. While the offense has looked so impressive, head coach Dana McWilliams says she's been more impressed with how the defense has played night in and night out to start this year.
Well, I've been really proud of this team. You know, they've been excited about getting the season started. And I think, you know, one thing I've noticed for them is how much better defensively we are this year than last year.
Does a defensive improvement like that, is it just more better focus, do you think? Is it better energy? What do you think's led to that improvement?
I think a little bit of both and probably just maturity. You know, I think we've gotten a lot stronger, and I think our focus and energy and excitement to play has just been really high. So I think that has contributed for sure.
And it's got to feel good for the players, obviously, just to get the season started after all the uncertainty, right?
Oh, it most definitely is. You know, we're excited any opportunity that we get to play.
I think a lot of teams, when I look around the Upper Cumberland, a lot of teams sort of play easier competition to start the year just to ease their way into the new season. Looking at your schedule, though, you've got teams like Westmoreland and Brentwood and Bradley Central, Loretto as well. You've got those teams on your schedule. Your team's been getting it done against some really, really, really tough competition.
Well, you know, we did have a tough schedule this year starting out, and, you know, we have an experienced team. We have a lot of kids returning, so, you know, we were excited about the challenge. And, you know, those are games easily that could go either way, and we've been fortunate that they've gone our way so far.
How important is playing tough out-of-district competition? Because you see the teams in your league twice a year before you even factor in postseason play, where you see them even more. How important is it to schedule those teams that you don't see on a regular basis?
Well, we like to do that. We like to see, you know, different styles and different types of play, just so hopefully that would prepare us down the road in tournament time when maybe you meet up with a team that you're not as familiar with, like, you know, your district teams and things like that.
One thing that I feel like has really stuck out over five games, in addition to the defense, has been the depth of this team. And when I, you know, it was deep last year. You had a really, really deep team last year, but it seems like another year of playing together really has this team doing some good things on the court.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, our depth has been a huge factor. I think coming off the bench for us, Anna Grace McClain and Jayla Cobb, they've been very impressive off the bench. And, you know, really when we're making substitutions, it seems like, you know, our level of play is not changing at all. And regardless of what lineup I have, we have a lot of different combinations, which makes it nice as a coach that you can do those things and you have a lot of options out there, you know, to decide from on what's needed at the time of the game or, you know, what on the situation. So it's been really helpful.
That was actually my next question was about Jayla and Anna Grace. Was, you know, a lot of teams when they put subs in, there may be a slight drop off in production and maybe the offense might stall a little bit, defense might slip up a little bit. But it seems like when those two come in, they're really good at just keeping, you know, keeping the offense flowing, keeping the ball moving. The ball doesn't stick in their hands, and they're really good also at just pressuring defensively.
Yeah, they're both high quality players. You know, I would say on a lot of teams they would be starters, probably on most teams. And you know, they've accepted their role, but I mean, we're not really concerned here about who starts and who doesn't. They've done a great job. And I, you know, we don't think that we really, when they come in, we don't think our level of play changes at all. You know, they bring some great energy for us. They're both very good defenders. They're both, really good offensive players. They just fit in this. And these girls have played together for a long time. And, you know, I think just everybody maturing and kind of just learning how to play together, there's no doubt those two are going to be special players.
I know that defense is obviously a key to winning a state title or key to even just contending for one, but I think it goes without saying that you have to have depth as well in order to contend. And it seems like that's one of this team's greatest strengths because on any given night, whether it's Brooklyn, Reagan, Tori, Ayana, or either or both of the players we just mentioned, it feels like any of them can really have a big night to help this team.
Well, that's true. All those you mentioned, plus Abigail Johnson, you can't forget her. I mean, you can't forget her. What a, you know, she had a great year last year as a freshman, but, you know, just I feel like we, you know, we have a lot of different weapons, and that's nice as a coach to be able to go different directions each game depending on what, you know, the other team tries to take away. You know, it seems helpful for us that we've got, you know, different scoring opportunities and different options all throughout, all seven of those kids. So they all, you know, they bring a lot to the table, each and every one of them. You know, you could go through all of them and list all the things that they do to make this team better. And it's funny, you know, you said that, but each game we play, when people come and talk to me after the game, it's interesting to see somebody's impressed with somebody different each game. And, you know, maybe even in the same game, three different people tell me three different people that they were, you know, impressed with that game or what they thought they did to help the team. So it's nice to have that.
You open up district play with Livingston Academy on Friday, a team that looks really improved over last year. And, I mean, on Tuesday, they just picked up a big win over Pickett County in double overtime. But what's the key to coming out of this with a 1-0 district record to start kind of that league play?
Well, anytime you're going into Livingston, you know it's going to be a battle. You know, nothing's changed that since the 20 years that I've been in this district playing against Livingston. You know, they're very well coached, and they've been a young team for a couple years, so they've got a lot of kids returning also. So their experience is showing this year that, you know, I'm sure they're a much improved team just based on the experience alone. They've been pretty young the past couple years.
Upperman head coach Dana McWilliams. Let's go across the county to Monterey, where the Wildcats made it to the state tournament last season before everything was shut down due to COVID-19. A new year means it's back to the grind for boys head coach Adam West.
I really thought we'd get a chance to play the state tournament, and that would be, you know, just kind of a, since it was so early in the pandemic. But as we've gone through it in the process, and obviously the numbers have changed, I'm not sure what to expect. 2020 has been the year of I'm not sure what to expect. So, yeah, we're just trying to prepare for a moving target, I think, at this point.
Does that kind of help to teach the lesson to your guys of just kind of always being flexible and understanding that anything is subject to change?
Definitely. I mean, it's something that we've obviously had to deal with a lot. Not, you know, as a coach and teams, they always have to reschedule games anyway. So there has to be a certain flexibility. I know a few years ago we changed the game from one night to the next, and obviously that made it difficult for our future schedule. So you just got to kind of roll with the punches, and hopefully, I think the teams that are the most prepared and the most developed fundamentally will be the ones that come out smelling a little better than the other ones.
So what are some of the first impressions from practice last week? I know that there's probably a little bit of rust that has to be knocked off in terms of just basketball practice, but what are some of the things you're seeing?
Well, we're getting better. I mean, our first day of practice was a little bit rough around the edges, definitely, because, you know, we're not allowed to do anything, and we weren't allowed to do anything forever. So just when we started opening the gym back, you know, early, letting kids get in, work out, and just get some shots up and things like that, we weren't allowed to coach. So the first day of me coaching, I'm sure a couple of my kids probably walked out and said, boy, that guy turned from Jekyll to Hyde. And so we definitely had to work hard, and we've got a lot ahead of us. But, you know, we also have several football guys that were kind of, you know, excited about their opportunity this week. And obviously the big win they had last week as well. So when we get those guys back, it'll kind of change the way our practices look. Probably bring the level of competitiveness up, which is what we would like to have.
When you have kids that play football as well, do you ever kind of, does it make watching the games as a coach a little bit more anxious on Fridays when, you know, you're kind of hoping like, yeah, you want them to play hard, you want them to go all, but you don't want them to get hurt?
I definitely feel that way, and I'm sure every sport that follows another sport feels the same way. You know, I just think that's, you know, your mindset a little bit, especially if that kid's a really a big key, but I don't know that we feel that way about our athletes for basketball. I go to a football game and I look at every kid on the field, and I just coach football, so I hope that nobody gets hurt, and I hope it's a great game, and I hope everybody plays at the highest level possible. And so for us, we kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not saying we don't say, well, if that kid gets hurt, we got to rethink what we do, because we've had that happen. We've had kids who came to basketball that ended up getting injured, you know, in a season-ending injury. In football, and I'm sure we've had some that kind of went on down the road for the other sports, but you just have to make accommodations. That could happen in your season. That doesn't necessarily have to happen in football.
Looking at this current year, who are some players you're expecting to step up from last year that maybe didn't get necessarily the main spotlight, but they're going to have that spotlight on them this year?
Well, you know, we lost a lot of guys. Obviously, everybody knows that. But we've got Silas Randolph returning, Tucker Phillips, Caden Jones. All those guys are returning guys. They got significant minutes. We got another kid that played some down the stretch that we saw here and there that I think will be a big asset for us is Latarian Sullivan. And so, you know, we got all those four coming back, and then we got some guys that we've kind of blended in from our JV. So we really have to work on some stuff as far as creating our own depth. But those guys right there have the experience to play well. They have the leadership to play well for this bunch and to really lead this team into the next phase of our program because, you know, we've gone through this multiple times where we've had like five or six seniors, and that's part of keeping a lot of kids. We do keep a lot of kids in our program just to develop them, and it's been beneficial for us. So those are the kids I expect at this point, and hopefully we'll get some of these other kids to work their way into the lineup and give us good quality minutes. And they're really putting in the time to get better. So,
Danny Fish set to talk some DeKalb County Tigers basketball. You're on the High School Playbook as we're getting ready for the high school basketball season, which is in full swing.
Yeah, I mean, we've had pretty good offensive production, you know, from, of course, Katie Farrell. She's been, you know, kind of herself and, you know, redefining her role as a junior and a leader on the floor, and, you know, our freshman Ella Van Vranken, man, she's been, you know, probably a little bit better than I thought that she might be at this point in, early in her freshman career. And, you know, she's really done a lot for us in her first couple of games. I didn't see how she grows in the future. And, you know, Megan Cantrell and Madison Martin starting to come on, and, Katie Griffith had a really good game at Warren County. So, I mean, we're starting to see some other kids step up and not rely on so much of those other two in the point scoring column. And, you know, I'm hoping that our role players can kick in some points here and there, but more so some boards and stuff like that, fill up those other columns. And I like where we're at right now. Still a lot of season to play and still very young. And, you know, hopefully we'll just continue to improve.
When you mentioned Ella, the thing that sticks out the most about her to me is this, is that she looks like a freshman when she's on the court, but she doesn't play like one at all. She doesn't – normally when you see freshmen, you see this kind of fear almost, that they don't want to mess up, they're worried they're going to get taken out if they make a mistake. It seems like she plays with no fear, and I feel like that's the key to her success.
Well, I mean, you know, she's played a lot of basketball. You know, she's been, you know, quite gifted, you know, for the past couple of years. You know, she got a lot of time in middle school, you know, playing under Coach Josh Agee there at the Cab Middle, who also coaches, you know, one of the Tennessee Rush teams. So, you know, she's gotten to play a lot of minutes, and I think, you know, more anxious. I know that when we went to Pickett the other night, she was kind of anxious. I think it's more so, you know, being there in that situation for the first time with us. I mean, she plays with AU in the summertime. She plays with the Nike Flight Group, and, you know, they're kind of all over the Southeast, and, you know, they play a lot of ball. So she's very seasoned for, you know, a 14-year-old, I guess, if you want to talk about it like that. But I'm sure she gets a little antsy and gets a little nervous. I think the biggest adjustment that she's going to have to make is not being, you know, a secondary player. You know, we got her playing the point for us. You know, I'm pretty tough on the point guards because I want them to manage the game on the floor, but I want them to manage it the way they manage it. So getting her and I on the same page, learning to go through those struggles of not knowing and then going close, I think will really help her in the future. And hopefully we can, you know, win some games because of it.
You know, these first couple of games have really reinforced that it was something that I thought of last year when I saw this team play, and it's just reinforced even more this year. Katie Farrell might be one of the biggest offenses or matchup nightmares in the Upper Cumberland because she shoots the ball well for someone that plays in the post, mm-hmm. and she can take just about any post player off the dribble.
Yeah.
What is the strongest aspect of her game, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, you know, her physical, man, I mean, she's tough. You know, that's the biggest thing is that, you know, we don't sub her very much either, you know, and she constantly, you've been at multiple games, playing all the time down there, down low, and even on the perimeter, and then they're shooting two guys at her, and, you know, she's just unbelievably tough, and, you know, the biggest thing for me, Rusty, is that we've watched her started to develop her leadership skills, and she's starting to implement some strategies that we've, you know, created for her in the past, and you know, to follow her and listen to her, which is really good, you know, because she gives all kinds of effort and she's always there and, you know, which makes her, you know, a better representation to follow. And her toughness is probably her best attribute for me, coaching her for 3 years now. Don't get me wrong, all the rest of them are really good. but I think that's what sets her apart from some that may have the same skill set as she has.
And when you look at girls like Madison Martin, like Megan Cantrell, the ball, that really opens up the floor and it keeps teams from collapsing on Katie as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, we got to knock down the three, you know, or at least some perimeter jumpers to keep people honest. I mean, last night against Red Bowling and in the first half, I mean, it was like you said, we had a plan and worked the ball for that plan. And, you know, she eventually would get a steal in position and she had a great first half last night.
DeKalb County Lady Tigers head coach, Danny Fish.
The first really youthful team she's had to coach. Leslie Riddle from Livingston. As the high school playbook rolls on, the Wildcats head coach says that of her 2019 squad. But the calendar has turned to 2020. The main core is returning. Well, Leslie Riddle couldn't be more excited about the year ahead.
Oh, it's a thrill. I mean, just, you know, we were worried every week for football to be canceled and just waiting for somebody to say, you know, you can't play basketball. And these kids have been working so, so hard. So that would have been a true disappointment. Of course, at this point, we're just lucky to play one more. So, because you never know what's going to happen. So we're feeling very fortunate to be in the gym.
This served to teach kind of a lesson of appreciation. Because I know no high school kids love going to practice. But does it teach a level of appreciation that, you know, you need to appreciate every day you get to play your sport?
I mean, you can't tell about teenagers sometimes, but I think they do, and I think they appreciate having the time to be with you. People that are working hard to do the same thing, and they certainly have worked hard. I mean, in the summer when you could do just your skill work and couldn't pass and couldn't defend and any of that, they've worked really hard on skills and things like that. And you know, we had the gym open a lot, and some of them were here every single time the doors were open. So I think the opportunity and hopefully there will be some positive things come out of this, and I think you've hit one of them on the head, and just to appreciate the opportunities you have and health and good friends and hard work.
You mentioned a lot last year that it was one of the first lot of youth on the team. From last year to now, how much have these girls matured as basketball players?
I'm not sure I can quantify it, but the mental toughness, the mental strength that they have compared to last year is just totally different. It's a different mindset of confidence and kind of an air of we've been there before and I trust you now, you trust me now. Just a different framework attitude, and hopefully that'll carry through.
One challenge that faces like every other team in this district is the District 8AA is just a gauntlet. There's so many talented players and so much in it. I feel like when I look around at it, it all starts with the coaches, because when you look at this league, I feel like these are some of the best coaches in the state of Tennessee.
Oh, I do. I definitely do, and I think they're in this area. I don't think it's just 8AA. I think it's in every division, you know, single A, double A, triple A. And I remember a lot of years ago when Farragut and came to Livingston and started coaching here, realized was I'm going to have to coach a whole lot harder because the other coaches are. And I learned, you know, from all the other coaches around and how they scheme and how, you know, every single play has to be done, you know, exactly right. And you have to, they're expected, and the scouting reports are different, and the player development is different in this area. So, you know, if you're not learning, you know, every single year, you're going to find right. There are a lot of great coaches in this area, and up and work as hard as they do, you're going to get there pretty much.
I think everybody that watches this team knows by now that Haley Cronk is that do-it-all player, you know. And I believe in an interview last year, I think you even called her that when we talked last year. You know, she's a great shooter. She handles the ball really well, and she passes it very well for a post player. What do you think the strength game is?
Right now it's leadership. She's taking on that senior role as a starter and trying to be that leader. She hasn't played as well, honestly, as she had, and I wish she had. But it's leadership, and she's been the first one in the gym every day, the last one to leave every day. And but you're right, probably her shooting is probably her best asset, and just the knowing the game. And but right now, like I said, she's not been playing well, so we've got to get her confidence back up.
She seems like she also really brings those intangibles that you can't really coach, because whenever she's on the floor, I've always said that she may not score 20 points a night, but good things are happening while she's out there on the floor. How important is having a player like that on your team?
It's invaluable. I mean, it's just having a kid that knows where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, knows the situation and how to handle that. And I was just talking to Coach Sales about, you know, how you trust your seniors, and you just stay in the right place to be and the right call to say to the teammate. And Haley is that. I mean, she's lived through it. She's been involved in a great AAU program where she spends a lot of time in the summer with other great coaches and other great players. But it's almost with another coach on the floor, so that's great to have.
When I asked you about balls, you said that you wanted her to really work for her shot a little bit more, maybe be a little bit more aggressive when opportunities presented themselves on offense. Now that you've had a few games, have you seen that from her, or do you still think that's something she could work on?
Well, she still needs to work on it. She is doing a little bit better, looking for it, but she still needs to work on it. She was in the gym this summer every time the door, working on her shot, working on her skills, and it's much, much better than it was last year. So we definitely needs to look. We need a little bit more of a balanced attack. We've only got, you know, not enough people doing the consistent scoring. So she definitely needs to look for it more.
One other player I want to talk about is Aaliyah Melton, because I feel like she had one of the best freshman seasons in the Upper Cumberland last year. What part of her game has grown the most from last year to now?
Well, she was specifically the one I had in mind when I was talking about the mental strength. You know, we weren't able to spend much time in the weight room over the summer because of the pandemic, but I think she is so much stronger. She's really, really gotten, I don't know, more experience has given her more confidence. We knew she could shoot. We knew, you know, that she could score, but I think now she has that confidence in her teammates and the confidence to know her role and to step up and do what she needs to. So I think, you know, I think she had one of the best freshmen in the Upper Cumberland as well, freshman seasons, and kind of went unnoticed because we didn't win enough games. But she's a great player, and she's going to be a great player, and she's well this season as well.
Last thing for you, Coach. What has to happen? We've already talked of district. We've talked about how many good players are in and how many good coaches are in. What has to happen for this team to make some noise? Is it more consistency you're looking for? Is it that mental toughness? What's the key here?
I think we're going to have more players to step up and play productive roles. We've got a lot of players that will play their hearts out and give everything they've got, but we need people that can produce, and whether it's points or rebounds or defensive stops or whatever, we need more production out of some of the other kids that we haven't talked about here in this interview. And we're waiting for that to happen. And we're just waiting for that to happen. I think when that happens and everything starts to click, I think we'll definitely be a contender.
Let's head to Gainesboro for Jackson County Blue Devils boys basketball. It's kind of an odd position in their region because the top two teams, most people believe they know who that will be. But the rest of how things shake out, well, a lot of question marks. Chris Pigg, Eli Burris back for Jackson County. Head coach Kevin Thomas is excited to see what can come out of this team.
They're excited. You know, I have a bunch of kids that are getting an opportunity to step up and, you know, be a part of that varsity team more. And I have two kids come back from football that are my two seniors on the team, Eli Burris and Chris Pigg. And, you know, that's, you know, they're excited about getting their senior year started. So, It's been really positive around the team.
When you look at the season last year, obviously you guys compete in a very, very tough 1A district. What are some of the things that stuck out to you last year?
Well, last year our district from 1 through 7 was just extremely, extremely good. You know, I mean, again, we had two teams out of our district represent there in the state tournament, and it's been that way, I think, two out of the last 3 years. And every year that I've been back, I think we've had a representative out of our district in the state tournament. So, you know, the biggest thing last year is so competitive. I do feel like that we're still that way. We've had a couple teams that lost a tremendous amount of scoring that I think will kind of, you know, in my mind, probably be the guys there toward the bottom. But, you know, our 1 through 5, I think, is going to be as tough or tougher than last year. As far as a competitive standpoint,
I think one thing I looked at when I look at this district is that obviously, like you said, last year 1-7, it was really, really tough, and you had two schools that made it to the state tournament. I think a big difference is that it feels, after that second spot, it feels really wide open this year. It feels like, you know, you've got 1 and 2, and you know, then after that, you've got a bunch of teams that could really be anywhere from that 3-7 spot. You've got a bunch of teams that could compete and on a nightly basis could beat anybody in the district. When you look at it, does this feel like this is a chance for this team to really make some noise in a district this year?
Well, you know, I think so. I've talked to our kids about, you know, we're very, very close, but there's other people that are very close, you know, to be where we want to be there, and I really think that probably this year we'll have two more teams out of our district could very well be in that state tournament, you know, if we could get to that top tier, though, you know, of the district, and you know, I think we're going to fight hard to try to do that.
You bring back a healthy amount of guys. You mentioned your two seniors you bring back. How much does that help with continuity of a system that you might have a young team, but you're not having to hopefully relearn that much?
Well, it means a whole lot. I'll just be honest with you. Since I've been back and took the job, I've kind of had to. We've had to kind of do a mixture of things there the first few years, and we're kind of getting back to doing what we, I feel like, the top teams that what we need to do, you know, as far as the top kids we have. We've had, you know, about the last couple of years here. So, you know, this year is quite a bit we're going to play a lot like we did last year, and that helps, you know, as far as the language and not putting anything new much in and just adding some wrinkles to what we want to do. And there's no doubt that helps, you know, for those kids not have to relearn something new.
In terms of new faces this year for you, who are some players you have that you think people should keep an eye on as players that will make an impact?
I've got a junior and a sophomore that I think could be really, really good players. And there's no doubt that they're going to be an impact for our team offensively. And I have a junior, 6'3", Ramon Cuevas. That was probably our sixth man last year, come off the bench, and he played pretty well for us there toward the end of the year. He's just never played a lot, but he's had a really, really good off season. And then I have a sophomore that, you know, he did start, but he was a freshman last year, and he'd have games where he'd get 20, and then he'd have games where he'd get 2 or 4, and you know, the consistency wasn't there, but, His name is Jordan Arroyo, and I think he's going to be much more consistent for us.
Is consistency as a whole something you're looking for this year?
It is. We really fought that last year. You know, we'd play well in some games, and then, you know, I thought that, you know, we'd have other games where, you know, we just didn't play as consistent throughout the game that we needed to play to win, you know. And I tell my kids that's the way it is with a tough schedule and a tough district you're in. You get in those district games and playing on the road, I mean, you have to play consistent. I mean, you can't have those quarters where you score 15 and turn around and score 6 the next one or 8. That's just not going to get it done.
When you play a tougher schedule, is it good for young teams to do that, to kind of have those growing pains when they're freshmen and sophomore? By the time they're upperclassmen, they're kind of more seasoned?
Oh, I think so, and especially with the environment, you know, we get to play in on the road and going to places like Clay and Pickett and, you know, those, you know, Clark Range where, you know, the crowd's into it, or if it's a smaller place to play that it feels even smaller with the crowd and the loud noise. And I mean, everybody's got to go through that and those nerves. And once you figure out what it's like, you know, the next time it's easier.
When you look at guys that are returning that you're expecting to really make a big impact, I'd imagine that Eli Burris has to be at the top of that list, right?
Oh, he does. There's no doubt we need him to make shots for us. I mean, there's games that, you know, when he didn't make shots last year, it was really difficult. He, you know, he's been in that spot for now. This will be his third year. You know, he needs to make those shots for us. If he can, you know, stay really consistent shooting the three and being able to create for some other kids that will help them score when people are really trying to take him away, it'll be a big bonus for us.
In speaking to Eli, one thing that's obviously abundantly clear is that he's kind of soft-spoken for someone that a lot of people look at. He's in leadership positions across a lot of sports. He's a quarterback in football, and he's a big part of your team in basketball. Have you kind of tried to get him to open up a little bit and be more vocal?
Well, tried to, but, you know, I found that over the years, that's usually a person that's in them or is not in them, you know. It's kind of like myself. I've got two daughters, and one's kind of meek and mild, and the other one's really outspoken, and I raised them both the same and trying to be leaders, you know, and that kind of thing. But, you know, Eli does a good job with, you know, what he does. You know, he's not the rah-rah guy by any means, but he, you know, he does come in and he's, you know, he kind of leads by example on what to do, you know, on the court and how to behave. And so that helps.
What part of his game do you think over the course of this offseason, what part of his game do you think has grown the most?
Well, I mean, just to be honest with you, I mean, for me, us not having summer camp and, you know, and then really him going into football there in July, I'll just be honest with you, I've not been around him a lot. We had to, you know, open gyms in July and go, and you had to do all the social distance and that kind of thing and only so many in the gym. I just think Eli, just for me, he's put on a little weight. That's going to, and he's stronger. You know, I think he's going to be more of a little more physical of a player than he has in the past. You know, his body, he's about 180 now, maybe 185. So he just, I think that's going to help him, you know, tremendously with the way he's going to probably be guarded.
Our final stop on this week's High School Playbook, Salina, as we preview Clay County Bulldogs basketball with head coach Rob Edwards trying to defend their 2019 district title.
Yeah, I think my guys are really anxious to get started and anxious to see how the season plays out. Feel like they got shorted or cheated a little bit at the end of the year, you know, but that's something that we had no control over. Mm-hmm. And I just think we're ready to go.
Do you find yourself surprised that we made it to this point? Did you ever think back in March and April that we'd be preparing for the season to start on time?
I'm not a medical person. I can't really say. I had hoped, like everybody else, I'd been hoping that we'd be able to start on time. But I really, you know, I didn't really get my hopes up too high, and I didn't get too low about it either. So I just kind of tried to stay steady and see what happened.
I know that you do have one tough task on this team in replacing two key cogs from last year in Mason Sharp and Jake Ashlock. And I think while most people may look at that and say, well, you're only replacing two players, I know they were so much more than just two players for your team last year.
Well, that's true. Jake and Mason both played huge roles on both ends of the floor and even in practice and in the locker room. It's always tough to replace those leadership traits, but you know, we got one senior this year in Gunnar Silk, and I think he's going to do a good job of being a good leader and setting good examples every day in practice. And you know, it's going to take some time.
I've often heard coaches say that when you lose key players like that, when they graduate, you don't really replace them. You more or less adapt to playing without them. You build your team around what you have, and you don't really worry about what you lost with them. Do you find that to be true?
I do, for the most part. Of course, you know, Jake being a post presence, I think, you know, he does have to be replaced. You know, we're going to be pretty deep at the guard spots. We have a couple guys that are hoping to fill that post position, and you know, but none of them are Jake right now. Hopefully, as the season progresses, some of them are going to get better, and they're going to fill in the spot that he left vacant.
One player, that's actually a perfect segue, because one player I felt actually played really well last year when he was called upon was Keaton Arms. First thing I have to ask, what are y'all feeding these quarterbacks that y'all have in Salina? Because Keaton Follows Jake is another guy that I feel like is going to give you guys some good size this year.
Yeah, Keaton's a great athlete and a physical specimen. I mean, he's just a big, strong, tough kid that you know, does a great job on the football field, and we expect the same from him on the basketball court when they get finished with the playoffs. You know, he's going to have to be our presence inside, at least early on.
Another guy we talked about a lot last year, I feel like, was Jeffrey Spivey. We talked about him having the confidence to shoot the ball when he had the wide-open shot. We talked about how he had to kind of build that confidence up. Are you seeing an increased confidence from him?
Oh, yeah, I think you saw that last year as the year progressed. You know, he got more and more confident with his shot. And, you know, he's had the green light all season last year. And sometimes he would pass shots up. And, you know, I just have to tell him, you know, that's why you're out there. You know, shooters have to shoot it, and that's what we expect him to do.
Before we talk about your lone senior this year, there's one thing I have to ask in terms of continuity. How important is it? I know a lot of people look at having a young team, they might see that as something of a negative because there's growing pains, and that's understandably so. But you also get to build these guys up in the same system for multiple years, and they really get to season out before they start playing. How important is that?
Well, I mean, obviously that's important. You know, when you have a group that comes back and they already know everything that we do, and they know all the terminology and that sort of thing. It really helps me. It makes my job a lot easier. So, you know, they just fit, the puzzle pieces just fit right back into place.
And you mentioned Gunner earlier, and he's someone I've looked at as, I think he's an elite-level defender in the Upper Cumberland, and I know you're probably expecting him to be a leader this year. What are some elements of his game you think we should see an improvement in?
Well, I think you'll see his offensive side of the ball. I think he'll take a little more initiative, take a few more shots when he's left open and those type of things. I expect him to score some points for us this year for sure.
What is it that makes him a tough defender? Because he's one thing he drew this to the toughest assignment on the other team a lot last year. And when you looked in their district last year, some nights that was Zach or Will Eminette. Other nights it was Peyton West. Like, what is it that makes him a tough defender?
Yeah, he guards the other team's best player every night, and he knows that's his role, number one role, and it takes a special kid to accept that, you know. And fortunately, through the years, I've always had at least one kid who's willing to accept that role, and it takes a little bit of, you know, I have to understand that I'm not going to be the guy that's taking 12 or 13 shots a game. I've got to take some pride in stopping this other guy from, and Gunner does that. He's, you know, he's not a big ego. He's just a team guy.
We obviously can't talk about this team without talking about Grant Strong. And when I spoke to him last month in person, it really seems as if he's put on some muscle. And I know that had to be a focus going into the offseason, right?
It was, and he has. He has put on some muscle. I couldn't really tell you pound for pound how much. But, I mean, it's obvious when you look at him that he's put on some muscle. And he had to, because he's going to be the primary defensive focus for other teams coming into the games this year, and he knows he's going to get beat up, he's going to get hit, he's going to get knocked around. Teams are going to be physical with him, and that's going to be really huge, this extra weight that he's putting on.
I feel like a lot of kids like him that have the talent he does, that score at the rate he does, and they do all the things right on the basketball floor that people see. It'd be easy for someone to have a big ego, but every time we've talked about this plenty of times as well. I know me and you have, that Grant just has a good head on his shoulders. How important is that for young players to always kind of keep that humbleness about them, even when they're having the success at a young age like he is?
Well, I think it's very important, you know, because you want to be a good teammate, and that's what Grant does. Grant wants to be a good teammate. He could take more shots a game, but he usually finds an open guy, you know, and it's just something that you really can't teach it.
Mm-hmm.
They have to show up with, and you can encourage it a lot, but it's some kids are tougher than others. But Grant's been he was our leading assist guy last year.
Mm-hmm. He mentioned also wanting to get – he wanted to improve being a consistent three-point shooter as well. I already know that he's a tough kid to guard, seeing him in person so many times. He's good at getting to the rim. He's good at finishing through contact. If he adds a three-point shot, just how good can this kid be?
Well, I think Grant's going to get a free education playing basketball. I don't know what level that's going to be at. I think he's potentially a D1 kid. But you know, it's just hard to say at this point in his career, but he's certainly as skilled as anyone offensively in the Upper Cumberland, and I look forward to coaching the next 2 years.